Hallelujah, God. We just come to say that you reign in our lives, Lord. You reign in our hearts, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, to receive all the glory and all the power and all the strength, Father. And all the dominion, it belongs to you forever and ever. Lord, this morning we join with the angels that says, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is to come. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we don't need to look to ourselves, Lord. We look to you, Lord. The beginning, the finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, that we can come to cast our burdens on you. We can come to cast our worries on you, Lord, the things in our hearts. And we just say, Father, thank you that you're pleased with our worship as we come as children and not as slaves, Father. We thank you, Lord, for open hearts, Lord. We thank you for a brokenness that you work in our hearts. Because we want to see you, Lord, and we want the fragrance of Christ, Lord, to permeate the earth, Lord. We want you, Lord, to work in us and work through us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, this morning that as we stand before you, Lord, we thank you for that freedom. I want to ask us just for a moment, if you can, just to bow down before God. And just as a sign of surrender. Otherwise, you can just sit down if you're maybe physically not able. As we just sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's just sing that chorus. That's what the angels are singing. Lord, this morning we open up the windows of our souls, the doors of our hearts to you, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we just close the shutters, Lord, and we close the doors because we're so afraid, Lord, what it would mean to give up control to you, Lord. But this morning we surrender control, Lord, of our bodies, of our emotions, of our this world that we live in, God. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that you open up our hearts. Thank you this morning, Lord, for a freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, Lord. We thank you for that liberty, God. Father, we especially want to pray for people here this morning that feel like spiritually tired, Lord. It's Christians that have been running for a long time, Lord. And Lord, it's like they've had a slow puncture, God. It's like, Father, some of us, Lord, we've parked the car a little bit, Lord, and when we got there again, it was like over days and even over months, Lord, it's been as the wheels have just gone flat a little bit, God. But thank you this morning for strengthening, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord, for encouraging us, God. Thank you this morning for bringing us to the place, Lord, where we stand before you in such a freedom, such a hope, Lord, such a joy. We pray this morning that you'll restore the joy of our salvation. I'm going to ask people, if you're here this morning, you feel discouraged or you feel tired and you've been running the race and you can identify with that picture. I want you to stand quickly because we're going to just pray for you that God will strengthen you in your inner man, that your spirit will be strengthened and he will make you to fly like on wings of eagles. And it doesn't matter how long, sometimes I get very tired and I just think like, Lord, I want to give up. I want to sort of like just go fishing again. And the world and things around us throw these storms at us that want to distract us and want to discourage us. But the Lord, he says, I'm underneath you. I'm the everlasting arms. I'm the wind that blows underneath you. So Father, we thank you for your people, God. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that's standing and even some that are sitting that maybe, Lord, just have lost hope, that don't even want to stand, Lord. But thank you this morning, Lord, just for life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're that fresh breath that strengthen us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you make us see who you really are. Thank you, Lord, for knees that you strengthen physically, emotionally, Lord, spiritually. Thank you for feet, Lord, that have grown tired of walking, Lord, in die dubbeltjies van die lewe het kom steek, Here. Maar dankie, Here, vandag, Here, vir 'n paar tekkies weer, Here. Dankie, Here, vir 'n paar skoene om te hardloop. You say, Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this morning we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll be and give us those eagles' wings to just fly high above, God, high above. And we thank you for that freedom today, God. Thank you, Lord, that you take all the distractions and all the stuff from us so that we can only see you. Jesus, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, for that hope. Thank you for that joy in us. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, Ben. And why don't you just turn to someone next to you and look them in the eyes and say, I love that smile on your face. It's just amazing. Thank you for brushing your teeth this morning. Thank you for having that smile all the time. And some of you look very fresh and some of you look like almost fresh just there. It's great to be here. And to be able to share with you, we're not going to try to be long. We'll be finished at 3:00 this afternoon. So just lock all the doors. Forget the chicken. I don't know what you're brewing this afternoon or whatever. No, we won't be too long. My name is Sias, and it's just a great privilege to be here with you today and to see some old faces and some new faces. I'm a student pastor at the Stellenbosch congregation, and I'm very involved in missions and things like that. That's not very important. The most important this morning is I trust that today you'll be strengthened, but you'll also be challenged a little bit, you know. But sometimes we live in this life, and then we have to, like, almost this little map at the Somerset Mall. When you get to the Somerset Mall and you rush in there, and maybe it's your first time that you go there, then there's this little card, this little map. And it's sort of almost like, you know, you want to get to a place, but you haven't got a clue. You know, you want to get to the shop at the other side. And I'm not a good shopper. I don't know about you, the other guys here, but the ladies, I just take it for granted that you're good shoppers. But the guys, you know, it's like you see some of those old women sitting there in front of the television. Have you seen it? You know, where there's these sport televisions, then they sit there and they have been sitting there for hours, days, weeks. They just said that they get old there in the mall while the ladies are shopping, you know, getting out there doing, no, you're not allowed to say shopping anymore. You must say retail therapy. That's the new word. But, so in any case, so if you want to get into that shopping mall and there's like this little map and you want to go to a place, but you haven't got a clue, then first you have to find that little arrow that says you are yeah. Okay. Would you agree with me? It doesn't help you to go and look for the place and then you find the place, but then actually in fact you haven't got a clue where you are. You sort of need to like get direction from where you are. Then you can point out, say, okay, I'm here where the arrow is and there's, I have to go through that place to get there. And, I trust that this morning we'll just become honest with where we are. God is not looking for perfection. God is not looking for people to be great. God is not looking because He's great. We don't need to be great. We don't need to like try to be up there and try to be over spiritual with God. God just wants us to know that we are here. And when we're there, we have this ability to look at Him and then we see how great He is and then our lives change. So simply, one of the things that I'm challenging us on this morning and want to challenge on us is just this journey that we're on here on earth. Many of us, sort of as Christians, we become so professional in our Christianity. We become professional Christians. We sort of come to the place where we do things because we know we must do them. We are disciplined in many of the ways we do them. And we become used to doing the same thing over and over. And then suddenly years later you realize, umaychona machantas, what on earth, why am I young? You almost go like through a little bit of a crisis sometimes. You know, you realize like, whoa, you know, then, I don't know if you've experienced it sometimes, like 10 years later, I've been serving God now for 23 years, and it's amazing, then suddenly after 10 years, suddenly you get like the speed wobble, and you think like, does God really exist? Have some of you gone through that? Okay, you know, there's just like 30 honest people here, but you know, we all go through these times, where we're just like, God, all this stuff, and then you look through, over your shoulders, and you realize, no, God does exist, because you just have all these testimonies of God's faithfulness. You know, just yesterday, I did In 10 years, I've done 200 weddings, okay? Not just attended, I think I've attended about 250 weddings, but 200 weddings because I work with young people. And I was sitting there and I was thinking like, whoa, you know, God has been faithful, you know? And only one of those couples got divorced, and it's a couple that I sort of did a favor for another pastor. I didn't know the couple before the time. I was thinking like, Lord, 199, so 0.5% didn't make it, but like, wow, you know, God, you're raising up a new standard in marriage. While everybody else is failing and everybody else is saying no, with us in the church, we're actually raising up a standard. And not to say, oh, everybody's like, you know, it's great out there. It's just very simple. God is doing something very, very amazing. And when you look at that and you realize, and I had this moment yesterday, I was thinking like, wow, God, you are faithful. In 10 years, seeing 200 young couples getting married and like, wow, being excited. And then you start to think of God's faithfulness, even when you're a bit tired, because it was my third wedding in a row. I did one on Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. And it just was just so exciting, because I was thinking like, wow, you know, God is faithful. I can feed on His faithfulness. Can somebody say amen? Otherwise, I'm not going to continue. Okay, thank you for your enthusiasm. Thank you, Luido, at the back. Okay, so many people sort of, we go through the motions, even in our marriages, in what we do, we sort of become so used to being professional Christians. And so the life of Jesus represents something else. Because before you're an engineer, before you're a doctor, before you're a whatever you are, whatever you do, you must know that you're a child of God. And there's a freedom to start to be that. And it's going to be very challenging because you're going to live a life by faith. And I'm just thinking of this story. It's actually the most amazing story of Jesus coming to the earth and Jesus finding these 12 disciples that didn't have front teeth. You know, that's how I imagine the disciples. You know, that's just like these weirdos. And right from the end, they just wanted to run away with Jesus. And Jesus just saw in them something and they said, you follow me and then I will make you. He didn't say, come to me and I'll make you this beautiful Christian. And after I've made you, we will go on this journey. Then you start to follow me. Let's sit in class and let's just be perfect. And I will dash you up and I will do these great things. Yeah? And that's many times our perception, that God will first make us and then we start to follow when we're perfect. Jesus just simply very comes, He walks into their lives and says, you, follow me. And the making happens in the following. But where are we going? What are we doing here? And right at the core of my message today is just something very simple. If you don't understand as a Christian that you have been sent to this earth on a mission, on God's mission, you'll get frustrated, you'll get irritated, and you'll probably die young. And I'm not talking about a physical death, I'm talking about a spiritual death. Because many people become so used to just doing the used to do. And so God comes to the earth, this Jesus comes, and then He makes these radical statements, and He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He doesn't come into people's lives and He says, let me give you the 10 steps on how to have the perfect way to heaven. Let me give you the 70 principles on how to have a good life and then we will get to heaven. Jesus says, I am that way. If you want to get there, if you want to do this thing, then you have to come and travel on me and in me. He says, I am the life. Life isn't a set of rules. Life is Jesus Christ. And I said it at the wedding yesterday because I love to preach at weddings because normally there are many people there that never goes to church, you know. I worked out, I preached over 20,000 people at weddings in the last 10 years, yeah. And then I said to the people, because I knew there was one guy that's a real big atheist and he writes books and all that stuff, you know. And I said very simply, you know, do you know Jesus made some radical claims? But you know there's no wickedness in God. God doesn't think evil thoughts. But when He's made this claim, and we have to know this, that Jesus made some claims that no other God, no other prophet, no other person that ever walked on the earth, Jesus made those claims. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And Jesus came to set a standard in our lives. And the most amazing thing is when we start to follow, He will make us. He will do those standards in our lives. So let's go to the early church. Okay, I thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I only slept 4 hours, but hallelujah, I am going to preach myself and you awake. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. We're only starting up this bus this morning. Well, some of you are like staring at me like I'm 5 kilometers away. You know, who's that shorty in front there? Okay. God's standard for the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now that verse, many people want that verse out of the Bible, but in any case, they just continue right along, moving right along. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Just leave that on there. Okay? So here we see a picture of a group of people. These group of disciples that had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now we have to say this, that Jesus went into the heavens and there were 500 people standing there. And then Jesus said, go and make disciples of the nations. And he decided that everybody is going to go into the nations. And then about 380 of the 500 got lost. They lost their way. Because they didn't know the little map arrows. I am here and I need to go to Jerusalem. Okay, so 380 of the 500 didn't make it. That's one of the questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. Lord, what happened to the 380? Were they distracted? Did they just become like, oh, no, there goes Jesus. Here we go. You know, I don't know what they did, but that's just it. The numbers tell us that many people didn't make it. But there were 120 that decided we're going to meet there in the upper room, and they were scared out of their lives. It was not a comfort zone for them. Because if I was one of those disciples here from Nazareth without teeth, you know, most of them didn't even cross the Sea of Galilee. They didn't go, you know, the one day when Jesus took them over, there was this massive storm. And then in Mark chapter 5, when they got to the other side, it was like this demon man came there and he had 7,000 demons and he fell down there. He was naked running around and he fell down there. And then the demons inside of him said, what have we got to do with you, Son of the Most High God? So they probably all ran away. They probably just lie there and thought, what on earth? Who is this Jesus? Now Jesus tells the demons. The demons told him because they were asking Jesus all the time, Jesus, who are you? And now they have this little encounter on the other side of the lake where they never went. That's the first time they go there. They stand there and now this demons tells Jesus who he is. After they've been asking all the time, who are you, Jesus? What are you doing, you know? The demons tell him, you are the Son of the Most High God, yeah? And so then he casts the demons in there, and so they're on this wild race, you know? On this thing, this adventure, and they probably just, at a stage, they were two zealots, you know, which were very passionate people, and they, two of the disciples, and they said to God, won't you just tell us, can we sit on your right-hand side, on your left-hand side? Because they had a little bit of a power struggle. Because they thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Because the Jews were subject to the Roman Empire. And had lots of oppression. And so, Jesus just says, no, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to serve. Okay. That's a new rule. Okay, but thank you. So they missed it most of the times. Okay, can anybody identify with some of those disciples? Okay. They missed it all. Now they're going here to Pentecost. And Pentecost is called the Feast of the Harvest. The Holy Spirit is poured out. And you want to talk to charismatic Christians. Because we miss the wholesale why the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has firstly come to bring you out of your comfort zone. When you are in a place out of your comfort zone. So what we tell people in the church is, come to church. Come to Jesus. I say, go from church. Go, not from church, but go into the world. Go. Because Jesus is walking, He's going, you know. Once you've come to Him and you've given your life to Him, like on a Sunday, yeah, do you know what happens here on a Sunday? It's just a celebration of what God has done the whole week. Hello. But we are so good to coming. And then what we do is we have our holy huddles. We huddle together on a Wednesday night. We huddle together on a Sunday morning because we're so afraid of the world. We huddle. You know, there's a preacher from America, and I forgot his name now, but he says, imagine you go to the Stormers rugby game last night. Any Sondas or Davas? Okay, just Dion, just put up your hand. Okay, no, as long as you enjoyed it. So, but because you must enjoy sin. Sin is actually nice. Did you know that? They said the other day, you know, you can. There's a whole congregation or people that say you can dance, but you're not allowed to enjoy it when you dance. That's sin. Okay, but anyway, so as long as you enjoyed it, Dion. But so imagine you come there. The whole stadium is full of people, and yeah, the Stormers run out. They stand there in the middle in a little holy huddle. They do their haka. No, not a haka, like Stormers. High five each other. They stand there for 30 minutes on the field. And then everybody begins to say, what's happening here? And then after 30 minutes, they go in for halftime. 40 minutes. After 40 minutes, they go in. After they've huddled for 40 minutes, they go in. They run into have halftime. They come out. And for 40 minutes, they huddle again. They just tell each other how wonderful it is to be together. How wonderful it is. What a privilege it is to stand on the cross with all these people. Yeah? Just like amazing. And then, on Monday morning, they put in the newspaper, how wonderful was it to stand in Newlands. Now, when they get out on the field, it's not about huddling. It's about playing the game. Hello? So what happened at Pentecost? They huddled together. What happened after that? They had to come and play the game. And so for many of us, you know, we've got this wrong way of thinking. We come to church because we think the church is here instead of being the church out there. Hello. Thank you for your enthusiasm, especially there at the back. But so listen to this. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking from house to bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and a simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You know, scripture says that when we come together as the church, everyone has a word. Everyone has a psalm. Everyone has got something to give. I want to ask you, with what did you come to church this morning? Hopefully not a hangover, but in any case. But maybe you brought money and that is great. Maybe you brought just your friends. That's fantastic. You know, we celebrate every little bit. But you know, when you come with an expectation and you're going to play this rugby game, then there's something that stirs in your heart because you realize, I'm in the game. I'm not a spectator. Because if you're standing there on the field, you know what? There's 40,000 people that are standing there, or 50,000 people standing around you. And scripture says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. But it says, what do you need to do? You need to run the race. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Those 50,000 people will all have an opinion. They will all, according to themselves, be the best rugby player ever. But you know what one thing is that you can tell them honestly? You're not on the field. You have not touched the ball today. You don't know the conditions of how wet the grass is. You don't know the pressure. Because you're a spectator. And so many Christians just stay and remain to be spectators. While Jesus says, come and follow me. And then I'll make you. Because I want to break this lie that says, you know, we sort of get intimidated by other people's spirituality. We get sort of almost, I'm not worth it. I'm not perfect enough, you know. I'm a housewife and I'm at home. Or I'm a mother and I'm looking after these little kids, these snot-nasy kids. And, you know, it's just so difficult. Don't tell me about going to the nations. Now, I'm not talking about going to the nations. I'm talking about, are you sent where you are right now? Have you been commissioned by God to be where you are right now? Have you been called to do what you've been called, what you're doing right now? Or do you just see it as a job? And the moment when you say yes to God, do you know what? You become apostolic. Listen to this. To be commissioned, and we talk about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. It says to be authorized by someone with authority. Somebody has appointed you, charged you, empowered you, dispatched you, and entrusted you with a mission. That's what we call the Great Commission. If somebody commissions you like Jesus did with these disciples, he says, I authorize you, I appoint you, I charge you. That's why it's the commandment of God. It's not a suggestion. He says, go. He doesn't say, pray about going. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. Go. 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 He doesn't say, stay, stay, stay. Until you're spiritually strong enough and then you can go. He says, from the word, go. He said, go. Okay. So it's to be authorized, somebody is appointed. Now many Christians don't know God's appointment or His calling on their lives. Because we think like, I'm Mr. Bean. I'm just going through this world and sin. Maybe I'm going to one time or two times encounter God in this process of trying to hear His voice. And many people say, Lord, please show me the gifts that's on my life. Please, Lord, reveal the gifts so that once I know what the gifts are, then, Lord, I can be used by you. Do you know what? It's going to take you many years if you pray like that. Do you know how you know the gifts on your life? Say, God, as I follow you, send the people to me that's got a need of the gifts of my life. Lord. I remember as a young boy, I used to dream. I would stand in front of a map, a world map. I couldn't speak properly. Okay, many of you know bits of my testimony. I couldn't speak properly. I stuttered. So I couldn't speak one sentence in full. Yeah, so I went to school a year later. Only when I was 7, because I couldn't speak to people properly. I would run away a mile, you know, on the farm when people came to visit. And so today for me to stand here is a testimony of what God can do. And that means not one of you have got an excuse. Say, I can't speak, I can't say, I can't this, I can't that. Why? Because simply, I know what God has done in my life, you know. So I stood in front of that map and I used to dream, I used to think like, I wonder. What that? I couldn't even pronounce the names of the places. And I said, God, one day in my life, starting right now, I want to go to all of these nations. That was like a dream when I was a chokaki, 7 years old. And I remember this map that my grandfather put up there. And I would stand in front of that map and I would think like, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be in that nation. I wonder what those people would look like. I don't know. It's something God placed in my heart. You know, not 40 yet, and I've gone to more than 38 nations and preached the gospel there. And I think like, God, it was a little dream when I was this year. But you know what? If you can do it in my life, you can do it in His life. You can do it in her life. Why? Because I've been commissioned. I've been sent on a mission. More than that, I love this last part. I've been entrusted by God. Ooh, okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The second thing when it comes to being sent is you need to realize, and especially for us as a church, we're apostolic. And that means that you're going to be challenged out of your comfort zone so many times. And when you be part of this church, I tell you, you're going to be challenged. Challenged to grow. Challenged to be apostolic. And apostolic simply means is you're a delegate, you're an ambassador for the gospel. Somebody, it's a sent one. That is the definition of an apostle. We read it in the first couple of scriptures there where it says, and these people had great power, great things happened in their lives. And I want to say to us, everyone here, you know, Jesus is coming back to a victorious church. When I read what I read in Revelations, it's not a defeated church lying in the mud, lying around trying to figure out who Jesus is. Scripture says that He's coming back to a bride that is pure, spotless, without blemish. She's victorious. And I want to be part of that. I am part of that bride. Are you part of that bride? It's coming back to a victorious bride. You know, the two things in this world that is attacked more than ever now is firstly the church. It's the institution of the church, the organism of the church. And the second one is the family's marriage. South Africa's marriage statistics says 50% of people, including Christians, get divorced today. Why? Because one thing, what happens when you're sent? What happens when you come to say yes to the call of God on your life? you begin to multiply yourself. And you will not be a fulfilled Christian until you've learned or felt the ability to multiply yourself in somebody else. You know, the guy that got married yesterday, it was, and I'm sharing this not to try to flatter myself or anything like that, you know. He taught at Encounter One a couple of weeks ago. And he was standing there, and another lady that knows me very well, she came to me afterwards. She said to me, "Do you know what? It's scary. I was standing outside with my baby, and then I listened inside, and I listened to this voice, and I thought, like, Sias's voice sounds very young today. I wonder what happened to his voice, you know." So now she's listening, and she's standing outside, and she's listening to this guy teaching, and she says, "It sounds just like me." And she comes inside, and she sits inside, and she thinks, like, she can't believe it. This guy does stuff just like I do. It's quite scary. It's quite scary. Oh, that's, you know. So she came to me after. She said, "That guy, do you spend a lot of time with him?" I said, "Yes, I spend a lot of time with him. The last 5 years, I'm just telling him, you're going to go to the nations. You're going to see God, because he's called for the full-time ministry. And I invited him to come and stay in my house for a year and a half. I just said, God is going to do amazing stuff in your life." So it's actually scary now, after 2 years, seeing that this guy is almost like a replica spiritually of me. It's a great responsibility, but you know what? It's called spiritual children. Do you know, mommy? You've been called to be a mother over those children, not just to do their nappies, but to multiply yourself, your DNA, your spiritual DNA into them. So that one day when you're long gone, or one day when Opa and Oma sit up his stoop, and Opa gee vir Oma a kopie tee, yeah, and you're sitting out there, and you look at all your children running around, you can say, "Wow, I had the ability to multiply myself into other people." That's why Paul can write, he says, "Timothy, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." And you know, every Christian, you've been made to do just that, multiply and go into the earth. Not just to have natural children, but to have spiritual children. Do you know how many orphans there are out there? I think every couple must adopt kids. Give somebody an opportunity to have a life. Every Christian couple. To have a life. To be able to multiply yourself. Raise up the next Julius Malema spiritually that follows God, that changes this nation. Hello. But see, God gives us those abilities. You know, when Louise and I got married, before we got married, God told us one day, and we came together with the same word. God said to us, "You're going to have many spiritual children." That was the one word that the two of us had in common, yeah? Now, she works with the kiddies, with the children's church. She loves the children's church. She doesn't like the mic at all, this mic, you know. Doesn't like to talk in front of people. But she raises up like small children, like that's a passion, you know. 12 o'clock at night, she's there on the internet last night again, because now she realized something, you know. That's not after, no, that was 1 o'clock after we came back from the wedding, because God just spoke to her about something that she must implement at children's church, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord, what? A passion, you know. What an amazing wife, you know. Because God, you gave her a word. You gave me a word. This is what we're doing. You know, we work with lots of young people. But you know, the amazing thing is when you see them 10 years later and they're changing the world, and you realize, I had a small part in that. God, that's better than any car I can drive, any house I can own, any place I can go, anything. Lord, it's the ability to multiply yourself. Talk to any parents. Talk to any older people that did not have the ability to make kids, to have natural kids. Talk to them about their frustration. Talk to them about the pain and the anguish and the stuff that they've been going through. And then you realize, wow, you know, but then talk to many Christians and you realize, but they're barren. There's no ability to reproduce. Why? Because they've never been sent. They've never realized that I've come to this earth on a mission for God. I've come to this earth to make a difference. And do you know what? God chooses me. He chooses you. Not to try to make it through the earth, but to stand up every day and say, God, I'm a sent one. I'm an apostolic person. Thank you, Father. Now, there's one beautiful story that I heard from this lady. She's in America. She moved to America many years ago. But she's parents stayed in Kenya. And so she was praying for Kenya. Probably about 20 years. I don't know the exact details. But she was praying for 20 years for Kenya and said, God, change this nation because that's where my ancestors came from. And I pray that you'll change Kenya. And one morning, she got a phone call from the president of Kenya. And he said, lady, do you know what? There's somebody working in my office. A secretary. I want to change the orphanages in Kenya. But there's the little secretary that you took into your home. Because from when she was young and her husband died, when she was quite young, married, and had the kids, she took in kids. She had a foster home of just taking in kids over weekends. And one of these kids was a Kenyan that went back to Kenya and started to work in the president's office. And she would like take three kids in per weekend and she would just love them. And so the president phones after 18 or 20 years. He phones her and says, what you've done, I can see the fruit in this lady's life that came from your home. I want to fly you over to Kenya. I want you to come and talk to me about how you do it so that we can do it in the whole nation. One lady that didn't have any money, any stuff, any resources, but she was faithful and she knew she was sent. She didn't complain about what she didn't have. She just looked at what did she have. She's got a house, she's got kids, and she can allow other kids to come into her home. She could influence her whole nation. Now that's a beautiful picture to me, exactly. You know, maybe we're not going to meet the presidents or whatever, but you know, where are you right now? Where are you on that dot, and what difference can you make? Are you sent? Are you with me this morning? Okay, I'm just warming up. Ooh, lekker, lekker. Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, that smile on your face still looks like amazing, eh? Okay. I think, let's jump a couple of slides. Otherwise, we're not going to go around. I'm just, you know, God wants us in Matthew 25, there's a scripture. I want you to look at that. It's one of the scriptures that changed my life. Talks about the talents and all that stuff. And then it says, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. You know, we don't talk about heaven and hell often anymore because it's not the in thing to do at church. When last did you hear a sermon on hell? But you know what? It's a reality. Because Jesus spoke a lot about hell. And I'm not here to threaten you with hell this morning. All I know, it's a reality. And all I know, that some of our family members are going there. And I cannot reach those family members, but you can. And so when we live with an urgency that we know we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Because how would you and I live differently today if we know that Jesus is coming back at 12 o'clock tonight? What would you do differently? How would you approach the relationships that you're in differently if you knew that Jesus is coming back? I said that yesterday on the wedding, and then I realized this couple is staying in front of me and they still want to go on 2 weeks honeymoon. So I said, what would you do differently if it's like 2 weeks? Let's allow them to make it 2 weeks from now, okay? And everybody was, you know, the guy was, especially the guy, he was just like sighing. Yeah. But anyway, some of you will catch that a little bit later. So, but it says here, very simply, it says, for to everyone who has, more will be given. But he who has nothing, that nothing that he has will be taken away from him. How can you take away something from somebody if he has nothing? Because simply, he sees himself as having nothing, although he has something. Because how do you look at the talents that you have? If you see the things that God has blessed you with as nothing, and you feel inferior and you feel intimidated by other people's spirituality, and you always think like, oh, if I could only be like that person, if I could only be there, if I could only do that, if I could only have, oh, then I will also. And what does God say? What have you got in your hand? But if you see that thing as nothing, then do you know what? Scripture says it's going to be taken away from you and it's going to be given to somebody else who is profitable. That's the scary part. Jesus comes to the fig tree. He stands in front of the fig tree and he curses the fig tree. The problem is the fig tree, it's not season for the fig tree to bear figs. When Jesus walks into that fig tree's life. So the big challenge is simply, Jesus expects fruit from your life even when it's not the season when you and I think so. And this is a thing we don't talk about often, is God is a just God. We're going to be standing in front of Him and there's going to be a day of reckoning. And then there's going to be a reward system for Christians where we're going to stand before Him and we're going to say, Lord, I've got one fish. I was a mommy. My husband left me. I had three kids. I barely survived. But God, that was my fish. It was those little three chokakis. I laid hands on them every day. I prophesied over them and said, you will change the world because what I have is these three kids. I'm going to raise them up in God's way. I'm going to trust God. I'm not just going to survive. I'm going to live by faith. Because one day I'm going to stand in front of Him. And I'm going to see Him for who He really is. It's getting very quiet in here. And so the challenge for us is not to try and psych ourselves up to do more. It's just simply to look at what God has given us. What gifts has He given you and start to use that. Start to walk in that place. And this is so beautiful when it comes to the apostolic, when you're sent. In Mark chapter 16, it says, when they preached the word, God worked with them with the accompanying signs and wonders. when they just did what God has called them to do, do you know what? The moment when they just said it, these toothless disciples that was going nowhere, they were just trying to follow Jesus and they were very clueless after He left. They wanted to go back fishing. Scripture says God worked with them, giving them the accompanying signs and the wonders. Because if you want to be apostolic, if you want to be a Christian, you cannot do it without the power of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus came to do in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. You can throw on that last scripture. It says simply that I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach, to do, to proclaim. Not to beg, not to ask, not to try. Simply to walk into that inheritance. Why? Because I know I've been sent. So let me zone in a little bit here on your level and my level. Because tomorrow morning you're going to work into that job situation. And you're going to feel very unspiritual. And you're going to be surrounded by many unspiritual people. And then you must make a choice when you walk through that front door. Are you sent? Or are you surviving? Have you got a commission to be there? Or are you just trying to be a Christian? And the moment when you walk in that door and you realize, I've got the authority, I've got the ability to bring God's glory into this workplace. I've got the ability to release the power of God, the kingdom of God into lives that are clueless. Then you come and you know you'd come out of a place of brokenness because you realize there's nothing. It's not you. It's just God's glory. It's God's presence in your life. It's God's abilities. And you bring a liberty. You know, I worked here in Somerset West. I won't mention the place where I worked. But the guy, you know, that after 5 years that I worked there, I worked as a financial manager and then as an IT manager. And sometimes I was like clueless, you know, really clueless. Especially when I had to do this IT managing thing, you know. I just sort of said yes to the boss and I realized, oops. So now we're doing this project of millions of rands and I'm just thinking like, I'm out of my wits, you know. I'm going into this one meeting with the CEO and all the people sitting there. and I'm now the IT manager, and I know there's one question. If you ask me that one question, I am going to die. I'm going to sink. This ship is going to go under because I haven't got a clue how to answer it. And I didn't have enough time to prepare for that specific answer of how we're going to get these two networks, these IT networks, to work together in a specific way. So I was thinking like, I was praying. I was just praying in tongues. I was saying, Shandai, Lord, Lord. And we still had our first baby. So I realized that previous day when I was supposed to work very late, I went to the toilet at the work. You know, I went very early, like 6 o'clock, and preparing this thing. Now I was sitting there, and there's like this toilet roll. Okay, this toilet roll thingy on the side. And I just thought, like, I'm going to close my eyes just for 2 minutes. Just get a bit of a nap, just to breathe, because I'm so tired. I didn't sleep properly, and the kid was like all over the place. You know, and so I'm lying there, and I'm just like, lying on the toilet roll, and it's like 6:15, you know, this like porcelain thing where the toilet roll is in, it was sort of built into the wall. So I'm lying there just sitting on the toilet, and I'm just thinking like, I'm just going to close my eyes for 2 minutes. 3 hours later, I sat on the toilet. I was so tired. I sat on the toilet and I slept for 3 hours. I got the shock of my life. I jumped up there. I don't know if I even used toilet paper, but in any case, I was out there. So now I'm thinking like, quickly just wash, because now I must rush into it. It was like 3 minutes before this big meeting, and I think like 3 minutes I must get out there, you know. I'm standing there, I'm looking up, and I think, just wash your face, so at least they don't see, you know. Because now 9:03, you have to get into this, and I'm standing there, and I'm throwing water on my face, and then when I look into the mirror, I realize, oh my God, I'm a chantist. There's a massive red mark as I lied on the toilet, down the whole side of my face, you know. I'm thinking like, oh, what am I going to tell? I'm a Christian, I can't lie. What am I going to tell them when they ask me, what has happened to your face, you know? So I walk into the meeting, and they're all sitting on the left-hand side. I'm walking like this. And I'm sitting there, staring. You know? So that's how the whole thing started. I just realized this boat is going to sink, you know, it's going to go under. So now we get to this next meeting. These guys fly out from Joburg. We're sitting there the next day, and I'm just thinking, now I'm realizing one thing. God, you placed me here. I'm here on an assignment, but it feels to me like I'm completely out of my wits. There's no way I'm going to get alive out of this place. I can just see fire. Fired. Not fire. Fired. Okay? With a D at the back. So I'm sitting there, and now the CEO, he opens up the meeting like this. He says, I've looked at the proposal, and before we get around to talk about all the nitty-gritty, I just want to ask you guys one big question. How are these two networks going to work together? No, right there. Streams of living waters flowing from underneath my armpits. Yeah, it's just like all the prophecies of the Old Testament came to pass. You know, who was it? Well, Hezekiah that rolled around. He lied there and he would died later. But in any case, so that was all I was thinking about. So yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking like, okay. And all I can remember is the Lord says, whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. I'm thinking, rapture, rapture, Jesus, come back right now. It's amazing when you're in that moment, you know. And then God says to me, you're not working for them, you're working for me. And suddenly the peace of God came upon me. Do you know what happened the next moment? I saw, while this guy is asking me this question, I saw an open vision. And then God started to give me a download as to how naturally I must answer this man. So I'm sitting there. After the second sentence, I'm realizing that this is not being recorded. I'm going to forget what I'm saying right now, because this is like supernatural what I'm experiencing here right in this meeting. So I'm taking a pen. I'm starting to write down. I'm talking very slowly. Okay. You don't need to write down. Okay. Let's, you know. So as I'm seeing this stuff, God gives me a download in the meeting with all of these people that don't know God. And I'm writing down this stuff, sentence for sentence, as how these networks must work together, you know. At the end of this 15 minutes download that I just speak what I see. The boss sits there, the CEO sits there, he nods his head, he says, I would have never thought of this. I think we must give you a raise. Lord, has that been recorded? Yeah. Right there, God intervenes. Why? Because I'm working for him. I'm not working for that boss. I submit to him. He's my boss. Yes, I do what he asks me to do. But you know what? There's a dimension that Christians are missing. Why? Because they don't realize we've been sent on an assignment. Whatever you do, do it unto God. Scripture says, in everything give thanks. Some of us must start to give thanks for where you are right now, and you must start to say, thank you, God, that you have given me. Because many times with that job, I thought, no. This is not from God. I just want to preach the gospel. But you know how I got the job? I looked in the telephone directory. The telephone directory was lying open on my desk. And then I got this name there. Because I was looking for jobs, and I was thinking, should I study further? I studied BREC, like CA and stuff like that. And I was thinking, like, I want to go into tax and all that stuff. And then as I was looking, this name jumped out of the telephone directory. Just like this name and this number. And the Holy Spirit says to me, phone them. And I'm thinking, like, what? So I'm going to phone these strangers. You know, now I phone them. In the end, I'm thinking, like, what on earth? You know, I phone this people. The lady answers the phone like this at the other side. She says, hello. Are you phoning for the job interview tomorrow? I'm thinking, like, she says, oh, now I'm beginning to try to explain to her that I'm not actually looking for a job, you know? But she says, like, no, just come in tomorrow. I think you already have the job. Just come in tomorrow so that we just have a little bit of an interview. And I'm thinking, like, I haven't even applied. She hasn't even seen my CV. She hasn't, like, well, this is not supposed to work, yeah? But you know, down the line, 3 years later, when things doesn't work out your way, then suddenly you begin to focus a little bit. Why? Because you don't know that you're here and you're going there. You've been called by God. You've been sent by God to this earth, into your family, into your workplace. And yes, also then to go and change the nations. I want to encourage you. No, scripture says that Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations. Every Christian, you must have at least one nation that you're praying for. Your own nation and another nation. Find out the statistics of that nation. Do you know there are 2 billion people that has never heard of Jesus Christ? And what are you doing about it? What are you doing? Are you running the race or are you huddling together? Are you playing the game? That doesn't mean you need to go to Pakistan. Because you know when you get to Pakistan, you're going to feel like you want to die 1,000 deaths. Just when we went there at the beginning of this year again, the pastor said to us, you know what, I didn't tell you last time, but the last time when you got here, this was the place where Al-Qaeda's second in charge was killed. And they said to me, you're a bit tense about bringing these Westerners out here, you know. He said, well, if they die here, they die here. But he didn't tell us that, you know, but in any case. But you know, it's amazing sitting there in Pakistan, walking out the door one morning, after 2 days of having a pastor's conference with 400 pastors there. Walking out the door, everything is peaceful and quiet and everything is like amazing. We're just thinking like, wow, this is amazing. And you walk out the door and a bomb goes off 100 meters from your house and people die. You turn around, go and sit inside again and you're not panicking. Because you know you're in the will of God. You know you've been sent by God. You sit there with the pastors. Sometimes up to 6 days in a little room because you can't go out, you can't walk on the streets. And you think you're not afraid of death. You're not afraid. Why? Because Jesus has sent you. You're following Him. And I want to encourage today, are you sent? Do you want to embrace the call of God in your life? And when you say yes to that, it's a life of faith. It's a life of challenge. It's a life of starting to lay hands on those kiddies every day. Mommies, I want you to get away from the place of saying you're going to only be significant one day, 10 years from now when your kids grow up. No, right where you are, lay hands on those kids every day. If you're sweeping the toilets, sweep those toilets for the glory of God. Because you know somebody's going to sit on that toilet and somebody's going to experience God there when you pray over that toilet. Hey. Because there's nothing insignificant in God's terms. There's nothing, when you're serving Him, when you're sweeping toilets for Him, do you know what? Hallelujah. There are 40% of people that don't have a job in this nation. Will you stand with me today? So I know this morning isn't like this. Okay, let's go for the deep inner healing. Those things, I'm not belittling those things. I'm not belittling the fact that you and I have got needs. And some of us today are going to feel so overwhelmed by our needs and the challenges around us that we just think like, some of us here today must still come to Jesus, and that's fine, you know, just from where you are. But even when you come to Jesus, God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want to bless you, but you have to come out of that place of obscurity. You're going to need to come out. Because even coming to Jesus means you have to come out. You have to come out from where you are and you have to go to meet him on his terms. And then he'll give you life. There's a young boy here that has been running away from God. The call of God on your life. I don't know if you're that young, but you're young. And God has come to visit you many times, like this morning. He comes to you and he says, come. Come, I've called you. I just saw a picture of a young boy. So it doesn't, maybe it's an old man here. And he said to you, come to me. And then, you know, so many things can flash in our heads. So many excuses. So many, you know. Scripture says that the invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb has come. Then the king sends out people, and then once he says, no, I'll first fix my business. No, I'll first do that. I'll first do that. And then in the end, this guy comes and he says, just go out into the streets and just find people there. Whoever you find, just bring them. Just bring them to this marriage supper. Because it's not about, because many, many have been called. But so few make a choice to follow. Many people sit in the church like this morning, offended, bitter, and you've got all the right. Many people sit outside of a church like this morning, being offended with institutionalized church. But all I can say to you is, this is God's answer. And this will become victorious. It will overcome. Because God is doing something in the earth. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is beginning to reveal himself to his church. And you know, it's so amazing to be there in Pakistan or India or those places. And then you go there and you realize that you've actually got nothing to give these people. They change your life. Because there's a simplicity of heart. There's a gladness for every little thing that God has done in their lives. They praise God. Because they're a bit different than the church in the West in the sense that they've got an expectation. And especially deal with people that are much poorer. They're so rich. They're so rich. Because they realize, we're just passing through. We're just going through this world. We're sent as ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're sent to bring God's glory down, God's power down into our situations. Whether it's our workplace, within our families. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, or today when you go out that door, you know, I love some, there's a church that I went to the other day and said, welcome to your mission field. On the door where the congregation would go out. Because the moment when you go out that door, there's going to be many challenges. There's going to be many stuff that's going to face you. There's going to be many stuff that's going to tell you, just keep control. Just manage your circumstances. Be in control. Don't let go. Don't trust God. Don't walk out there. Don't be radical. Just be professional. And then God says, no. My call is to go and make disciples of the nations. My call is to go out there. Most of the times you're going to be scared out of your, whatever you're scared out of. Because it's an issue about control. It's an issue about who's in charge. Are you following? Or are you sitting? Say, God, come and serve me. Come and make me. Once I'm ready, then I'll start to follow you. Once I've got 10 million bucks, God, then I'll start to give. What are you doing with your 100 bucks? I said, Lord, there came a guy 2 days ago, a couple of days ago, come Monday, 1,400 people lost their homes. 1,700 people lost their homes. And then this poor guy that has got no money came to me with a little envelope with 400 bucks in there. He said, I've got nothing left. But all I know, I've got a bed tonight and I've got some food in my fridge. There are many people that don't have that. Yeah. Just emptied my bank account. Go and give it to them. I just started to weep and I realized, God, what did you say about a widow and her mites? What do you say about somebody's heart that is surrendered? Because he has a bed and he has a roof and he has food in the fridge. So the first group of people I want to pray for today is maybe here today you're lukewarm and you're sort of out there. Or maybe you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ as the one that you want to follow. And he calls you today and says, come. Follow me. Just come with all of your nonsense. Come with all of your sin. Surrender it to me. Give it up to me and I will make you as we go. But you're going to need to come. You can't go and do it at home. You can't try to be a Christian. There's a place of surrender where your life changes. And maybe you're like that today. I want every eye to be closed. If you, somebody here that's far from Jesus and today God is calling you, he's saying, come to me. Then I want you to raise your hand very high and say, that's me. Maybe you've made a commitment before on a camp. Maybe you've made a commitment in a church service like this. But you're just far from God. And you know that God is not real to you. You don't know his voice. You have not heard his voice for a long time. And this morning he's saying, come to me. I want to save you. I want to be your first love. I want you to look me in the eyes and then I'm going to change you. Is there anybody like that this morning? That either needs to come to God for the first time or you need to make a recommitment. I want you to raise your hand very high. Say, that's me. It's God calling you. God calling you to his life. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Maybe you've never done this publicly. You've done it at home, but you've never made a public statement. And so you're always doubting whether you are saved or you're not saved. And God is saying to you tonight, this morning, you need to come as well. Just to make a public statement, I want you to raise your hand as well, because we're going to pray for you. You're going to say, it's going to be a spiritual thing that you're going to do. You're going to say, yes, God, I'm saying yes to that call. Just raise your hand quickly if that's you, if God is speaking to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. If you've never publicly just declared and you feel like right now the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to do it publicly. You can know God, be in love with him, but it's just about a symbolic, prophetic statement you need to make today. To say, God, I'm saying yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those people that raise their hands. If maybe you haven't raised your hands and a bit shy, I want you to come to the front quickly and come and join me in front. So we're going to just pray with you. We're going to just publicly say to Jesus, Jesus, yes, I want to know you. I want to follow you. If you're a bit shy, I want you to come out. Take somebody's hand next to you and say, be with me in front. Because today I'm going to stop a life of mediocrity. I'm going to stop, Lord, always making excuses of why I shouldn't follow you, why I'm not good enough. Jesus' blood puts worth on our lives. Will you just come and stand here? Jesus adds worth because of that life. Cool stuff. While they're standing in front, there's some Christians here. You are frustrated. You are irritated. You are angry. You are offended. You've got all the reasons in this world to be like that. And God is saying this morning to you, because what you've been asking is saying, God, please sort out these people. God, please. And all God is saying to you is, trust me. Will you trust me that this journey I'm taking you on, you're going to be safe? I've come so many times, and I want to share this with somebody here, because there's somebody here that's really offended. One day I stood up. I was sitting in a pastor's meeting with lots of pastors, and this one pastor stood up. We were talking about having mercy in communities. And this is what the pastor did. The pastor stood up in the meeting and he said, do you know this man called Sias? Do you know how he moves in presumption with the Holy Spirit? Do you know that what he hears is not from God? Now he looks me in the eyes and he knows I'm serious. And he starts to take me apart. Right there in front of all these pastors, about 50 pastors and people that I know very well. And I know this guy. It's an older woman. Everything inside of me just wants to get angry. Everything inside of me just wants to literally walk up to this man and hit him in the face with my fist. Because you know what? I've got all the right to. And I'm sitting there and my wife is sitting next to me and I'm just like furious, you know. And I'm also angry at the other pastors that I know. They're not telling anything. They're not saying anything, you know. And I'm just thinking like, am I not your friends? Just stand up somebody, you know. And there's just silence and this guy takes me apart for 15 minutes. I drive home that night crying, weeping. And I say, Lord, I'm going to give up on ministry. I'm gone. Because if these are the people that's supposed to be loyal to me that say nothing. And the Holy Spirit says to me, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I went on my knees that evening. I'll never forget it. It was a moment next to my salvation that was the time that changed my life the most. And God said to me, do you trust me? I went on my knees and I just broke before God. I just wept for hours, the whole night through. And Jesus asked me, am I enough for you? Asked Jesus, in those moments, Jesus asked these questions that I don't want to hear. Because I've got a right to be angry. I've got a right to walk away. And he says, do you trust me? And from that moment on, God started to take me in a dimension of the Holy Spirit that I've not seen. Just healings and words of knowledge and things that have changed my life so profoundly. But it came out of a place of surrender, of brokenness. And I had to go back to that office that next day. I had to slick all my pride. And a day later, on my desk was this massive gift from this pastor. He started to repent. Came to see me. Sent emails to all these other pastors and said he doesn't know what came over him. But it was from the devil that he spoke over me. And all God says, do you trust me? Are you going to vindicate yourself? Or do you want me to vindicate you? And you know, today I can stand in a spiritual authority because of that day. Some of you are offended, some of you are hurt. But you've lost the ability to be sent. And if God is speaking to you, specific those people, that's God's touching some wounds right now. I want you to come out. I want you to come and join me in front. Because today it's about trusting Him. Say, God, you've sent me on an assignment. I want to please you. God, I want to do it for you. Yes, God, and I am going to be part of the church. Because that's the family that I can get hurt in. Where people are going to misunderstand me because I need those relationships. But if God is speaking to you today, I want you to come out quickly. I want you to come and stand in front. Because we're going to take oil. We're going to anoint you. We're going to say, thank you, Father, that there's a commission on this man's and this woman's life. And then maybe you're a Christian here. You're just going like Mr. Bean through this life. You don't have an authority when you pray. I want you to come out because we're going to also pray for you. We're going to just anoint people here this morning. We're going to say, Lord, we send this mother. You don't have a cause. You don't see where you are right now as significant or as spiritual at all. I want you to come out as well. Because we're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you. We're going to say, yes, God. Okay, I know there's some people that must come, so we're going to just wait until they come. Okay? Because pride just keeps us many times from surrendering. But you know, when God moves in humility and He says to us, yes, when we come in that place of brokenness and say, yes, God, I trust you. God, I don't know why I'm studying this, what I'm studying. I don't know why I'm working here, God. I want to be so many other places. And then all God says, do you trust me? I've sent you here. Come to me. Thank you, Father, right now, Lord. That this morning you're going to mandate people. You're going to commission people. You're going to send them, Lord, from this place. There's some people here with back problems, lower back problems. I just got this massive pain here in my back and it's not my pain. We are those people with the back problems. I want you to come and stand right here in front because we want to pray for you that you be healed today. There's also a lady here that's been struggling with like skin disease, lots of skin disease. It's like got to do some stuff either with your touch or your taste. There's massive problems in your skin and you've been struggling for like a couple of years already. gone to some doctors and the Lord wants to heal you. Where are you? We want to pray for you. Just quickly come. We don't want to keep you too long. We'll just come quickly, that lady. Okay? There's also somebody here with a right ankle problem. It's not just you didn't hurt it, it's like something is wrong in your right ankle and God wants to heal you. Where are you? Is that you? Okay. Maybe there's some more people. I want you to come quickly. Just come. If God is speaking to you. There's also somebody that gets these migraines, but right here from the back. You get it actually from the back to the front, not from the front to the back. But you get regular intense migraines and the Lord wants to heal you. Where are you? I want you to come quickly. Just come out because we're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you. There's somebody here that and this is a bit more like on an emotional level, but there's people that have spoken words over you that needs to be reversed, those words. There's specifically somebody here that loves sport, and there are people that have spoken intense words over you that you're going to, and these couple of words has come up. You are a nothing. That's basically what you have registered all of your life. You're nothing. You'll be nothing. That's what has been coming to you from your dad, from people around you. And when I speak about going and being sent, you just feel like really there's nothing you can give. Because you feel like nothing. You feel like that person that has this gift, but it actually there's nothing. You actually have nothing. I want to pray for you specifically. Because you need to be set free to see how God sees you. And I was going to take some guts, but I want you to come out quickly. We're going to pray. We're going to break those cycles of rejection and failure over your life. That stuff that has been ministering to you. And I know there's a bit of resistance, so I want every believer to pray right now. Because there's some people that needs to be delivered today. And I'm just waiting for that, for you to respond. There's no pressure, no condemnation. Just is when Jesus invites us, there's a place of complete freedom. I want you to come quickly. There's a lady, you're just in your 20s, your lower 20s, and there's been just cycles of these things coming over you. And God wants to break it today. Why don't you just come quickly? Just the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. I want to pray for those people. Okay, many people are staring at me. I don't know why you're staring. We're just enjoying this moment where God wants to break yokes over people's lives. It's not a show. It's just simply God breaks yokes over our lives. I want you to come quickly. There's people that's got words. They're like daggers hanging over your life that needs to be cancelled. And we're going to reverse it. We're going to speak God's life. Where are those people? Just quickly come. Just come. Because from a young age, and you know that it's just like stuff right there over your head. Come. Just come and stand right here in front. Because now everybody's like thinking like, oh, you know, what are these people going to think? Don't. That's pride, okay? Just come. Because when God comes, He makes everything new. He breaks every yoke of slavery over us. Just that thing of, there's a lady here that are dreaming intense bad dreams. Okay? You've been dreaming the past 3 weeks. There was 3 specific dreams that you were dreaming of. The one was death. And the other one was just like you were swallowed up by something. Like either water or something. I don't know. But it was just like something swallowed up and you died. So where are you? I want to pray for you specifically. But they recur often. These type of dreams, just these fear motivated dreams. Where are you? I want to pray for you specifically. Just quickly. I know there's a lady like this, and we're going to just break those cycles over your life. Just quickly, where are you? Is that you? Okay. What's your name? Dalien. Okay. Dalien, ons gaan nou goed afsny vandag. Dit is demonies, maar die Here gaan dit breek oor jou lewe. Okay. En hy gaan dit vandag doen. Okay, there's another person here that has been, you've been in, your life has been like this. You moved around a lot when you were young. You've been in and out of different schools, different jobs, different stuff, and it just feels to you like there's no stability in your life at the moment. There's just no place where you can just like, you really, that's the life cycle of your life. And you just really want to come to that place of just like, if I say go, then you just say, no, I just want to stay for a while, you know. But it's you feel so overwhelmed by your past, by things that change all the time, and it just feels like you're losing control. Where are you? I want to pray for you. Just quickly, you know that God is speaking to you specifically today. We don't want to keep people too long, but I just need to be obedient today, amen? Where's that person? I want to pray for you specifically. Is that you? I'm going to pray for you. So Father, we thank you this morning as we're going to pray for these people, Lord. We thank you for your life. We thank you, Father, that we're not here to play church today. We thank you that this is an amazing church. We thank you that you've placed us here so that we can be planted here. But thank you, Lord, that you've sent us on assignment into this world. Thank you, God, that even when Christianity is, Lord, seems in the West so, Lord, attacked, so many things in our minds even, Lord, that doubt and unbelief brings. Thank you today, Lord, for a clear call again. Thank you, Father, that you stir in our hearts, Lord, a place just again of surrender to your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for a call, Lord, to say yes, Lord, to be sent by you, to walk in your authority, to walk in your ways, Father. And Lord, this morning I take authority over every lying spirit and every confusing spirit, Lord, that wants to take people away, Lord, from that place in Christ. Thank you this morning, Father, that we can say no. No, Lord, to those lies and yes to the promises of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you renew our strength like the eagles, Lord. I want some people that can pray with these people. Won't you just come to the front as we're going to just take oil and we're going to anoint them. Then I want just before we end, the people at the back, just before you go, just for 2 minutes, there's anybody that's sick here, anybody that needs deliverance, I want you to come to the front. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord as we just pray for these people. But just before you go, won't you turn to somebody next to you there at the back and then look them in the eyes and say, look here, I'm going to pray God's commission over you. And then you pray for that person. You say, Father, and if you don't know them, ask them, what do you do? Where are you right now? Where's the little arrow? And then you commission them back to that place. Okay? Say, thank you, Father. The Lord, she's not just an ordinary housewife. Thank you, Father. She's going to be the most amazing mother. Thank you, Father, that you created ability, a nurturing ability inside of her to be a mother of nations. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to see those kids the way you see them. Oh, Lord, he's just like an ordinary, boring accountant. But Father, no, I cancel that over the ordinary, boring accountants. Lord, give him opportunities to shine your light. Lord, let her be the best secretary ever. That whoever comes, Lord, whoever, Lord, even, Lord, phones in, she will, Lord. People will know you once they've spoken to her, Lord. Without her even preaching or doing anything, Lord, they just know the presence of God over her life. Lord, overwhelm her with your presence. Overwhelm him, God. So that wherever he goes, you realize, Lord, he's like Joshua. He can take that ground for you. And then some of you need to begin to say yes to just go to another nation because you're too comfortable. Just sign up for the missions and say, I want to go. I want to go with the church. I want to spend some money, not on a Europe visit to go and ski because I've been there 20 times. Just say, Lord, I want to go to India and see how God changes your life. And tell somebody next to you if God is speaking to you about that. Some of you younger people must take a year off after school or after varsity and say, I want to give a year of my life. I want to just go and do it. You know, come speak to Cornell afterwards. He'll tell you what it means. Yeah? Or Sabrant here in front. Okay? Come and speak to them. God lays it on your heart just to give a year for him to go and do missions. Come and sign up there at the missions department and say, yes, I want to go and do that. So I got 1 year that I just can do a gap year and go and change my life before I just get stuck. So let's pray for each other as we're going to just pray for these people. Father, we thank you for that life. Thank you for your abundant life in this place today. Thank you, Lord, that your anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, it's your anointing that breaks the yoke. Holy Spirit, we invite you into these moments where everybody here will be sent into their workplaces. Everybody here will understand we're commissioned by God. In Jesus' name. Let's just worship as we're going to pray for people.